Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Spark London.
We tell true stories.
We tell them live.
And we tell them every month at the Canal Cafe Theatre.
This story was told by Jacqueline Downs in April 2010,
where the theme was home.
In the blazing hot summer of 1976, some kids set fire to a boy on my estate. It happened at the end of my block, about 100 yards from my house, in a little wooded area by the primary school I attended. Despite the proximity of several dozen homes, no one heard the boy cry for help. Maybe there just wasn't enough air to carry his screams across the estate. The boy survived. That lack of air probably saved him, stopped the fire from taking hold of him fully. Word got around really quickly, I'm tempted to say like wildfire. So we soon knew who he was. We knew where his house was. It was near mine. Until that fire, I had known nothing like the shock, fear, and revulsion that overtook me after it happened. Council estates now are all chicken wire around the roofs of tower blocks and barred front doors. They're all about keeping you in or trouble out. But where I lived in 1976, it was about the front door staying open all day, weaving in and out of my friends' houses, eating wherever I happened to land when it was tea time and knowing that someone would phone my mum and tell her. And in the 6 weeks' holiday that summer, my friends and I splashed in the paddling pool on the pavement between our houses, ignorant of any hosepipe ban. We played ball games on the grass at the end of our block and climbed the frames on the communal play area at the top of the estate near the well-used community centre. Or we took off on our bikes first thing in the morning with ham sandwiches in the saddlebags and went fishing for sticklebacks in the nearby lakes. It was like something out of Huckleberry Finn, if we'd ever heard of him, and at that time I hadn't. This had been a summer of heat, a summer of shorts and T-shirts, of ice cream smiles and brown skin. Once the kids set fire to the boy, it got colder, certainly for me. For days after, I would go to the site with a couple of friends and look at burnt flesh. Well, that's what the older kids told us it was. Just as his screams had died on his lips because of this lack of air, there hadn't been enough of it to carry the remains of his skin away either. It seems unlikely that this was true, but at the time I left my home, walked 100 or so yards with my friends, and stood there and gawped at what this boy had left behind in the little wooded area by the primary school. The community centre was close to my home, and in the past it had housed under-12 discos, where I danced to songs that had been in the charts a few years before, drank fizzy pop and ate flying saucers and blackjacks. There were cabaret nights and prize bingo for the grown-ups. Then, after the fire, the estate committee held a benefit there for the boy, a raffle, a talent show. The idea was to raise money because when he got out of hospital, he was going to need special equipment and probably a holiday, although not somewhere hot. I didn't go, but I heard that when they sent the bucket round for donations, someone put a box of matches in. At the time, I didn't get it. But now it says a lot to me about the place I called my home and the way it seemed to me to distort after the fire. The estate and life on it became something else for a while. When I was 12, I moved away, but I never forgot this boy. I remembered his name, I remembered the fire, I remembered the heat. Senior school, college, university, work, all the time I wondered what became of him. Then the internet was invented and I found out. A photo accompanying a newspaper article showed he'd bulked up, perhaps because they'd used steroids to treat his burns, or perhaps as a way of never allowing this to happen to him again. And with that bulk and the memory of the fire came a blazing anger. near his own house, not far from where we had lived as children, a neighbour made a racist comment about the boy's girlfriend. When I read this, I was strangely relieved to discover he'd formed a relationship. I felt that this proved that his life hadn't been all trauma and misery, defined only by the fire. But the headline had already given it away, and I remember my stomach twisting as I read the details, feeling sad and sick at the story of his life. There was no mention of what happened to him in the past, and I wondered if his lawyer had brought it up in mitigation. I'd seen enough crime shows on TV to know that they should have, that it must have been at the heart of what he went on to do. Because in the street where he lived as an adult, with his girlfriend and their children, where the neighbour made the racist comment, the kid in him flared up, forced his way into the neighbour's house, and beat him to death. And the boy who was set on fire is doing life for murder now, and the prison cell is his home. When I left that council estate, it was for another a few miles away. This one had no community centre and no real community, and I found it didn't really bother me. I'd already lost so much of what I thought my home was. I'd left all the friends I knew behind on that last estate, and so the days of being in and out of each other's houses were left behind too. After a brief sense of community at university, I find that wherever I've lived since, friends and family are scattered too far apart for casual dropping in, and maybe that's how I like it. I live now in an area where neighbours may recognise faces, but we don't always know each other's names, and we keep ourselves to ourselves. Part of me feels a little sad about that, but a bigger part knows from experience that homes and communities are not always safe and warm, even when they're blazing hot, especially when they're blazing hot. Maybe I'm still a little cold because of what happened at the end of my block, about 100 yards from my house.
Have you got a story to tell? In June, we're running a week of new stories at the Blue Elephant Theatre in Camberwell. We'd really love to hear from you.
To take part and for more stories, head to sparklondon.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.